The Global Sport Matters podcast is presented by Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment, a division of Morgan Stanley Wealth Management dedicated to serving the unique and sophisticated needs of professional athletes and entertainers. This is Sport Matters with Kenneth Shropshire and Bill Roden. From academia to media, Ken and Bill explore the edges of sport, unpacking race and culture beyond the game.
Welcome to the Sport Matters podcast. This is Ken Shropshire, my last podcast formerly associated with the Global Sport Institute, but not the last podcast. And I am with all kinds of mixed emotions today. I'm happy to be with the great Bill Roden and the great James Shaq Harris to have this conversation. I'm saddened for the primary reason for us being here, and it's to salute the just passed great Marlon the Magician Briscoe, who in my life, you know, young black man playing football in LA in the 60s and 70s was just a tremendous hero. To see this black man playing this position that all I knew was black men playing it in high school and growing up. And I know it's the case with Bill and Shaq too, but to see him rise to such heights, to lead the way. And just a wonderful man that I had a chance to meet a couple times in his life. So two guys that got to know him a little bit better than me. And we just want to have this conversation to salute him and to think about this whole black quarterback issue. But really, for those who don't know, I think this most important thing we can do is to put this stamp on who this man was and what he means to what's going on now with the black quarterback and otherwise. I mean, so much of his life is important as well. But Bill, why don't we just open up? Why don't I start off with you? You wrote a great piece in Anscape, one of your side hustles. I don't know what to call your day job anymore, but as a retired man, you wrote a piece. But what,
killing me.
You know, and I know you know, in the piece you said, your first call was to Shaq. So why don't you talk some about how Shaq came to mind in that context and just tie it together. Then Shaq will come to you. I know you got too much to say as you think about it.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, man. But when I saw the news, I was just stunned. You know, it was just stunning. You know, because, you know, Marlon was just, you know, so effervescent, so alive. And, you know, you've been around Marlon. And I just thought of Shaq. You know, I was, you know, because I knew that, heck, man, Shaq, you first met Matt Marlon when you were like 20, 23 years old, something like that, right? I mean, you've been knowing Marlon for a long time. And I don't know, it was part just, I guess, consolation, part just to commiserate. But Shaq is the first person I thought about because I knew that they went way, way, way back. And they shared so much, man. And we just had a great conversation. And I really appreciate the conversation, Shaq. But I know that, you know, it was just kind of a stunning. I know we both knew that Marlon had been ill, but it was just so stunning that a guy that important had been taken away.
No question. And when I had tried to reach Marlon a couple of weeks ago, let him know I was coming to Los Angeles, and I was out there, I called him the last couple of days, trying to connect with him, and didn't get a call. And when I heard the news from a reporter in Omaha, I could only pull over on the side of the road and just think about our history and about such a great guy passing. We're losing history, and a lot of people don't really know his story complete.
Yeah, we're all men of a certain age and black men of a certain age, and you both knew him much better than me. But I was, you know, people pass, but this one really saddened me. Just that event we had down at Arizona State a couple years ago, and just spending time with him, you know, as a man, and just hearing his stories and needs and concerns and his journey, it just, as you say, we knew he was ill, but it just to have him leave and to, you know, some, I guess to some degree, and Billy wrote about this, he did get to see some progress. Yeah. I still don't want to say, you know, permanent change or whatever the, you know, progress means and some things that move forward. But Bill, why don't you talk some about what he meant to the whole pantheon of quarterbacks. I mean, we should lead the way. And you know, if we had Doug on here, you know, he would condemn us for even saying black quarterback at any point in time. But in the pantheon of quarterbacks, you know, talk about Marlon and how he fit in.
You know, when you think about it, man, I mean, there's just so much to unload here. But, you know, I always got the sense with Marlon, and it's true that he never was fully appreciated. And I know that's hard. I mean, you know, it's hard when you're that far in advance. If you look at, I mean, Marlon was so far ahead of his time, you know. And if you look at those, you know, those five games he played with the Broncos, and I thought about it as I was writing it, that people didn't really realize it, but they were looking at the future. They were looking at what the NFL was going to be at that position, like in another 20, 30 something years. You know, the way he was playing, like wide open, the running, because he basically said he was on his own. And I guess that's, and Shaq, you could talk about that too, because the same thing happened kind of to Eldridge Dickey and actually to you too, that you could be so far ahead of your time. And I guess that's the tragedy of the pioneer. In that, you know, if you were coming along now, you'd be like Haskins. You'd be like a first-round draft pick, you know? If Marlon was coming along now, he'd be like Michael Vick. He'd been a first-round draft pick. And what he was doing back then was not acceptable. And I guess he would talk about that, seeing all those guys like Vick and Mahomes and Lamar and thinking, damn, man, you know, I was just – what did you say, Shaq? Born too soon. But it's just one of those unfortunate things of life, I guess, you know?
I think Marlon and I, it starts with, we both shared the same dream. You know, all we wanted to do was play quarterback in the National Football League. And we understood that the best players was going to play. We was okay with that. But all we both wanted was an opportunity. And I got this as, Marlon was my roommate. So we shared a lot of stories. And in the end, we all wanted the same thing. And I first connected with Marlon when he was in college. When I was a junior, I used to go to the library. I was a year behind Eldridge Dickey, Jimmy Ray at Michigan State, and Marlon. I didn't know Marlon. And I stumbled upon Marlon. I didn't know Marlon was black. And I stumbled upon him. And I started going to, every week, I watched those guys and see what kind of progress. Because I felt if some of those guys play, it would increase my opportunity to play. I knew for a fact Dickey probably would play in the NFL. And as I followed Marlon, Dickey played, got drafted number one. I thought that was going to give me a chance to play, felt good about it. He went to receive, and then Marlon started. And I was a fan of Marlon, followed him because he was paving the way for me. He had a good year. And then during the offseason, from talking to Marlon, he went home, and when he came back, they were having a quarterback meeting in the office without him. And that's where he became bitter, and I shared that bitterness with him. And he ended up going to the Canadian Football League. But I think the story is he played well enough to play and then was denied an opportunity to continue his dream. Although he had ability, he had been productive. Marlon had great skills and great talent.
This episode of the Global Sport Matters podcast is brought to you by Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment. You have that something extra, the star quality, the intangibles that put you on top of your game, your artistry. You flourish in fiercely competitive industries. You already have the vision, but you may need the plan. Your distinct needs inspired the creation of Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment, a division of Morgan Stanley Wealth Management dedicated to serving the unique and sophisticated needs of professional athletes and entertainers. We speak your language, we understand your business, and can help you achieve your goals. Visit ms.com/GSE to learn more.
So Shaq, how did you use that on your journey? I mean, how much did you reflect on, I can only imagine being his roommate and hearing about his transition, the forced transition. And was that a motivator? Did you use it to reflect on, you know, as Bill wrote, how to deal with white folks? I mean, what were the big takeaways that you carried when you got to the Rams and then finally got the opportunity?
Well, the first takeaway was when they didn't allow him to come back and play, that sent a message to me that America wasn't ready for black quarterbacks.
Right.
So that meant that my chances of playing, Dickie didn't play, was switched to receiver. Marlon didn't get a chance. So the message is, I probably won't get an opportunity to. And that's the message I took away from it. But what happened, Marlon ended up going to Canada. And then they decided to invite Marlon to Buffalo. And he was switched positions to as a receiver. What's amazing, here's a guy never played receiver. And in order for him to continue his football career, he had to switch positions. And he also was a savior for me because he had shared the same experiences that I was going through at the time. And we were able to talk about what happened to him, what may happen to me. And neither one of us thought we was going to make the team. He was switching to wide receiver. I was number 7th on the depth chart with no blacks playing in the league. And each day they were cutting. And each day he and I would talk about it. The most important thing is that the other blacks on the team, they couldn't relate to what Marlon had been through and what I was going through because it was open competition at their position. There were tons of running backs and receivers all competing and the best player would play. But at quarterback, there was only one in the league and Marlon had been denied and the opportunity to play was probably none. And those are the kind of discussions that we started with as we developed a friendship that lasted forever. And I'm very appreciative that Marlon came to Buffalo and it gave me somebody to talk to, somebody who had experienced some of the dreams that I had.
When did you find out that he was black, Shaq?
I was looking through, and I was in the library when I was doing some research on Dickie and Jimmy Ray, and so and they were talking about Marlon's year, and what kind of good year he was having. They had a picture in there of it. I'd seen his name, but I'd never seen a picture. And then, because he had big numbers.
Right.
And they
had
a picture of him, and wow, I was shocked.
Right.
I mean, it's interesting to think about that because, you know, black people playing at non-HBCUs at that time was not, there weren't that. I mean, there were still some of the initial breakthroughs were happening in the 60s about the first black player to play at such and such a place. And certainly just, you would just think, you know, Nebraska, Omaha, they said, well, it couldn't be a brother. I mean, wouldn't you know, even with the name Marlon Briscoe, you said, nah, that's got to be just some unique name by white folks or something. And you just move on.
Well, the other thing about Marlon, Marlon had a great career at Nebraska, Omaha, put up some big numbers. But during that time, the NFL was looking for big quarterbacks, and Marlon was undersized. So that was another strike against Marlon that he had to overcome. But the way he played well enough to overcome it. And Marlon, in terms of his skill set, and he and I used to talk about this, he used to think he think of himself as being close to a Russell Wilson type. And I thought of it as a combination between Russell Wilson and Murray from Arizona. He was extremely quick. The thing about his size, though, he had a big arm and was accurate and could get rid of the ball quick. And he had scrambling ability. That's where the magician come in from. You know, if you came in there too hard, you'd hit air. Because he wouldn't be.
Bill, do you remember watching him back then? I'm not going to put your exact age out there, but I remember. And what do you remember at that time the moment?
Well, back then, I think I was like 18, 19 years old.
Right.
You know, and I was a big AFL fan, you know, because I went to Morgan and the AFL was packed with guys from Morgan and was with Grambling. I mean, you know,
right.
It's like the AFL had nothing but all the stars were like from HBCUs, you know. So I was always watching, you know, the AFL. And I have a vague memory of Marlon. You know, but it's probably more just like highlights or something, you know, because it wasn't like I watched the whole game. But it probably wasn't until maybe when I got to Ebony Magazine as a professional and I start writing history and stuff like that, that, you know, I revisited Marlon. And like Shaq said, a lot of people, because Marlon became such a great receiver. And remember, he was drafted and they switched him to cornerback and he started the Denver at corner. You know, he won the starting job at corner. And then when Tennessee got hurt, you know, that's how great Marlon was. They threw him in because they didn't trust the backup. So imagine that, man. You start in the corner, and then the starting quarterback gets hurt. They don't trust the second string guys. They say, Briscoe, go in. So Briscoe went in and turned the shit out. You know, you know, his first play was like a 22-yard completion, and he led them on like an 80-yard drive, and he scrambled, and the people were going nuts, man, because imagine, man, they never seen anything like this, you know. they never seen anybody just scrambling and running and, you know, and making stuff happen. And Denver also was like, you know, they were searching for something. They were searching for a spark. And so I think they wanted to declare those last five games like a national holiday in Denver, because, you know, Marlon was just so great, which is why. And I think about this, Ken, and Jay, it's like, think about what our parents went through. I mean, it would be like, you know, like you're a lawyer, and think about those days. You wanted to be a lawyer, but you couldn't be a lawyer. Or somebody wanted to be a corporate exec, but couldn't be a corporate exec.
Right.
You know, all these things that you had talent to be, but because of racism, you couldn't be it. And I just think, you know, in Marlon's case, he knew he could play that position. He knew it. You know, there was no doubt he could play it. And the fact that they just said, no, you can't play it, I just think that's something, I don't know how you feel, Shaq, I just think that stayed with Marlon for a long time, even despite the great success he had as a wide receiver. I just think that that was just one of those original scars that you know, that maybe the nail was removed, but the scar was always still there.
I think that's true, because I probably one of the few who decided not to switch. I never considered switching. And when Marlon came to Buffalo, he was bitter. It was some bitterness in him, and I understood it. You know, I felt for what had happened to him, you know, in Denver. And he still wanted to play quarterback, and a guy who had never played receiver, you know, coming there to accept that challenge, you know, that's asking a lot. But he put it behind him, and he came in and competed at receiver and ended up starting and going on to the Pro Bowl. But for me, having Marlon there to talk with, back in those days, you called in your own play. And I understood football, but I didn't really understand the pro game a lot. those nights that me and Aunt Marlon would talk about the game where I could help him with the receiver. If you're a quarterback, you know a lot about the receiver. And he could help me. We could scrimmage with each other about the play calling, what I was going to call in the game. You know, that was major. Marlon Makeup was a smart guy who had real instincts and had instincts for football, as he proved. But one of his greatest assets, too, was he's a tremendous competitor. And that's one of the reasons he was able to make this transition to wide receiver. In practice, if somebody would stop Marlon, he would get back to the line of scrimmage and want to go against him right away. One of the great competitors that I've been around. And one story, as we travel, there was two people on the plane reading the Wall Street Journal. Jeff and Marlon. One guy even asked Marlon if the Wall Street Journal had a sports page. He wanted to see the sports
page. Yeah, that's right. So, what'd you say, Shaq? You said that, and it was funny, but it was true. Because, you know, you came from Grambling, you know, black players, black coaches, black team, and you go to Buffalo. And I guess Marlon grew up in more of an integrated community. You know, he played at Omaha, so he was used to having white coaches, you know, white teammates. And, you know, you just observed how he interacted, which is something that you could take for granted. But if that's not, you know, that's a whole nother language to speak, you know, and Marlon spoke it well.
Well, you know, both of us realized the reason was said that there was no quarterbacks, but we weren't smart enough. You know, we couldn't lead, of course, in our character. And when I got to Buffalo, being in the huddle, most of the linemen was white, was something different for me. One of the biggest challenges I had was stepping in the huddle and calling the plays to a different group, different environment for me. Whereas, you know, Marlon was, from observing, I was number 7 on the depth chart, so I didn't get a chance to practice the first few days. I was just observing. And Marlon was comfortable interacting with the team because he grew up in it. And for me, it was a challenge. Challenge over in conversation, a challenge, you know, just adjusting to the situation.
You know, it's, again, I just keep reflecting on the time. And Bill, when I asked you what you remembered, you know, kind of just as an 18-year-old, I remember, you know, I'm a couple years younger than you, of course, as a 16-year-old. I just remember all of a sudden everybody, if they hadn't been already, and this is in L.A., and again, you may be right, it may have just been highlights, but everybody's kind of freed up to play like that at quarterback. It became, nobody was struggling to be Johnny Unitas, you know, immobile, drop back. There's more of a freedom to play like Marlon. So it was just a new day, although it was probably a blip on the screen for the sports world in terms of what happened. But that name, you know, I have no reason for me to be a Buffalo fan or otherwise, but then to follow him to Miami. And so what's this guy doing? And I think in some ways too, so he's got to still be on the depth chart to be a quarterback. I mean, maybe we'll see that again was always in my head too. I mean, it's one of my favorite players.
Well, you know, Marlon never got it out of his system. We work out. He would throw all the time as a quarterback. And when we shared other experiences about, there's no question he wanted another opportunity to play quarterback. And he kept working at it and throwing, and had he something happened again with the injuries, he would have been ready to play. We had a little fun with it. They were cutting during that time. They cut every day. And he and I had talked. He's going to receive it at quarterback. So every day at 6 o'clock in the morning when they come by to make the cut, and we see each other going to practice, we would say, well, we made another day. So we did that for about 20 days, and then when all of us, when both of us made it, made the team, that was a prayer that was answered.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the two things. When he went to Miami, in fact, Warfield told this story. They had like a play. It was a play for Marlon, where he would line up in the slot, and then, you know, like on some kind of semi-reverse, you know, he would take it and then throw, you know. And he connected with Warfield a couple of times on that. So there was a trick play where he got to throw. But Shaq, were you there? Were you in Buffalo when Marlon got traded? What if you there? What was that like?
I think Marlon left. I left before Marlon. I think before Marlon was traded. But we talked. You know, Marlon and I used to talk all the time. And I think Marlon, it ended up being a great break for Marlon. But I think what we're getting lost here is that Marlon became one of the better receivers in the league. Yep. He led Buffalo in receiving. And getting that opportunity to go to Miami and play opposite Paul Warfield with a competitive team was a great break for Marlon. And probably more than anything, that probably his personality toward the game probably changed more then than any time before.
Yeah, a pretty good team, competitive, undefeated team. Matter of fact, one of those seasons. So
he actually led that team. He led that team in passing touchdowns, the undefeated team, you know. So that's, you know, I mean, Marlon just had a great career. You know, I mean, he had an extraordinary career. Two Super Bowl rings, you know, great receiver, College Football Hall of Fame. But, you know, you just look back on what could have been, you know. And I guess like you were saying, Shaq, that's part of who we are as Black people, that, you know, you're resilient, you know, because disappointments are just going to be part of almost no matter what generation you're in, there's going to be some degree of disappointment. And you actually said this a while back, Shaq, when you talked about the field generals and why it was important that the field generals, you, Marlon, Doug, and Warren, to be counselors to this younger generation of quarterbacks, because no matter how hotshot they are, they're gonna need to know when they face that disappointment. How do you face disappointment? How do you deal with disappointment and not let it crush you? And to me, that was Marlon was the epitome of that, of not letting disappointment crush him.
Well, I think Marlon probably a guy that never really got it out of his system. I think he and I both are similar in this way. You know you got challenges ahead of you that you may not overcome. But when you get to compete, you leave all those things behind and you focus on making the team and you prepare to make the team, although the opportunity looks like it's not going to be available to you, you prepare just in case that opportunity comes. And I think Marlon was that way. I think when you think about Marlon, you have to really think about a guy playing quarterback, never played receiver, and get the call late where you're already in training camp, and you can go and make the team as a receiver, as an undersized receiver is very, very hard to do. And Marlon did it in a special way. Now, he ended up becoming a starter. That shows you the talent that the Marlon, the magician, married his name, the magician.
Well, just closing thoughts, I just want to highlight again for younger people listening, especially that, you know, it's still a sad state that we have all these firsts that are still occurring. And it's also important that we look back and understand, you know, when a Shirley Chisholm runs for president, what kind of door that opens for the next person, eventually Barack Obama to get all the way through. but the pains of being the first and probably not even reflecting in the moment. It sounds like Marlon was not that that's what you're doing and that, that you don't want to carry, especially out onto the field or otherwise, the baggage that, oh, I'm the first. So just trying to do, as Shaq said, trying to do what he wanted to do, but having such an impact in that kind of way. But Bill, why don't we start off with you, just you know, close out thoughts about the man, and then Shaq, we'll close out with you.
Yeah, I just always remember Marlon's spirit, man. You know, he was sharp. He always had a great sense of humor. You know, he was just effervescent. And I always remember that, man. And then just, like Shaq said, as a competitor, I guess I just don't know if people fully appreciate what Marlon did, you know? And maybe over time, you know, maybe this season, I think you suggested, Ken, they should fly the flags at half mast, you know, this season, you know, and maybe they could put together a video package of Marlon's five games that he played in 1968, just to let people know how far advanced he was, you know. So I don't know if people, there's such thing as getting your due, but I always felt that Marlon was underappreciated, but I'll do, you know, everything I can to always give Marlon his due because he was way ahead of his time.
Shaq, final thoughts on the man?
I would say he's a great friend, a great competitor, you know, a smart guy who had a simple dream, and that dream was to play quarterback in the National Football League. And that dream was not fulfilled, no fault of Marlon, but because of the time we were living in. And in spite of that, he was able to go on and establish an outstanding career. I'm grateful to Marlon, for Marlon being able to be a mentor and assist me in my career. And I think Marlon dreamed, although it wasn't fulfilled, but history will reflect his contribution that should live forever.
Well, thank you, Shaq. Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Marlon the Magician Briscoe.
This show is brought to you by Global Sport Matters. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen. Global Sport Matters podcast is a production of the Global Sport Institute at Arizona State University. This episode was produced by me, Kendall Jones, Manager of Strategic Initiative, and big thanks to sound designer and editor, Sam Esparza at Big U Music. Our Senior Coordinator of Digital Content is Brendan Clean, and our Marketing and Event Assistants are Aiden Corrales, Luke Padway, and Kate Nelson. Stay up to date with the latest news, events, and stories from the world of sport by following us on Twitter. We're at GlobalSportMTRS. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter by clicking on the envelope icon at globalsportmatters.com.